Tanya, page Zion, or 13, with the numbering system at the top of the page. We're starting chapter 3, Perek Gimel. This is just a bit of introductory words. This is a great book that was written by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, the first leader of the Chabad movement. Seven generations ago, he lived in the end of the 18th century and beginning of the 19th. He was born in 1745, passed away in 1812, or the beginning of 1813, and it was called Rabbi Shneur Zalman of Liadi, a great genius, a great master of Torah, that wrote this book, which was the aim of which is to bring, or to make it easy for people to find their way in serving God. That's a very quick nutshell summary of his aim in writing this book. Now, in the first few chapters, he basically sets the scene for understanding various aspects of a person's spiritual life. So he first of all defined the idea of a tzaddik, a righteous man, a rasha, a wicked man, and a beinoni, who could be termed an in-between type of person. In order to understand that, we have to also understand that every Jew has two souls. Not the ones on the bottom of your shoes, because everyone has two souls if that's the case. We're talking about souls. One of them is called the animal soul, which is the animating soul that makes a person live and behave just like any other animal does. All animals breathe in some way, so we breathe. Animals eat, so we eat. Animals drink, we drink. Animals sleep, we sleep. We do lots of animalistic things, and that, the power that gives us the life force to do that, is called the animal soul. But what we've also got on top of that is a godly soul, and that is a part of God above, which is the dimension of us, which makes us superior to the animals. The animals don't have this special godly soul inside us. Now, the fact that we have within us a godly soul and an animal soul means that we've been set up in a conflict situation. There's got to be conflict, because these two souls want different things. The animal soul wants, as we just said before, you don't need to use your imagination, to eat and drink and enjoy itself and play football and watch the World Cup and go to the cinema and have a good time. That's the animal soul. That's normal. The godly soul wants a relationship with God. It wants to pray. It wants to learn God's teachings. It wants to do God's commandments. So there's going to be a conflict here, because the human being, he says, look, leave me alone. It's cold outside. I don't want to go to the synagogue. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. It's too early. And it's freezing. I'd rather stay in bed for another hour. So we now have a conflict. The godly soul wants to go to the synagogue, and the animal soul wants to stay in bed. So we've got a built-in conflict. And this helps us to understand the concept of the righteous, the wicked, and the average, or the middleman. The righteous are the ones that ensure always that their godly soul wins the argument. And the wicked are the ones that never win the argument for their godly soul. They always let their animal soul take over. And you never see them in the synagogue. Maybe 3 times a year. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Or maybe not that. And then the middle ground is someone, he explains, we won't go into it now, but basically this is someone that hasn't fully reached the level of the righteous. He hasn't really got himself totally under control. He's always involved in the battle, but he tends to make the right decisions. So he's not yet a tzaddik, but he's grappling with himself, but he makes the right decisions. So that's the scene up till now. Then he goes on to explain that within the soul itself, there are what's called soul powers, or soul attributes or soul characteristics. And he explains them now. So that's where we're up to. The soul is not just a simple entity. Soul, you know, it's a bubble, a spiritual bubble somewhere inside, you know. It's got structure to it. It's got a character. It's got a nature. It's got aspects to it which we can analyze. Okay, so now let's deal with this. Page 13. Perik Gimel. V'hinei, kol b'chino madrega v'sholosh eilu nefesh ruach v'neshama. So all the aspects or levels of these three. Now, I forgot to mention that the soul is actually made up of different parts. Apart from these attributes, there are different levels of soul. And there are five levels. Nefesh ruach v'neshama chai yichida. Nefesh is translated as soul. Ruach is spirit. Neshama, soul again, I'm afraid, or godly soul. And chaya means life-giving soul. We're short of words in English. And yichida means that soul aspect which is totally unified with God. Five levels, but we normally talk about the lowest three. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Now all of these, each of these levels, is made up of 10 attributes. Kelula me'esa b'chinas. Made up of 10 attributes, k'neged esa sfiras al yonas, which correspond to the 10 divine attributes. The 10 divine attributes are attributes of God Himself.
Where's Mr. Abraham's teaching? Can I ask him?
Mr.
Abraham said to meet him here at 10 o'clock.
Sorry. They're made up of, so God Himself manifests Himself with 10 attributes. The ten are divided into 3 and 7. The three are the intellectual attributes, called Chokhmah, Bina, Das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And then you have 7 emotional attributes. We did actually discuss it quite at length already. So, Shenishtashim Mehem Anechlokes Lishtayim, they are divided into 2 categories, Shein Sholosh Imois, the 3 mothers, or they're called mothers because they generate the others. So these are the intellectual attributes, as we said before, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. For Sheva Kefulais and the 7 doubles, as he calls them, which will be explained later. Pirish, Chochman, Bina, Vadas, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are the 3 intellectual ones. For Shiva, Shimei Abinyan, and then you have the 7, what he calls the 7 days of building. Now this refers to the 7 days of creation. The 7 days of creation correspond to the 7 emotional attributes. Let's start with the first of the 3. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, V'chulu. The easiest to understand are the first 3. And then we'll deal with those for the moment. The first 3 of the emotional attributes are Chesed means kindness. Gevura means severity or withholding or constriction. And the third one is Tiferet, which means beauty. Kindness is very easy to understand. This is the soul with an emotional attribute that says, I want to give. I want to give. It's a deep, deep emotional feeling that God has implanted in us all, of the wish to give, the desire to give. Of course, this emanates from God. He is the ultimate giver, because He has created this world with the sole aim of giving. His God is the God of kindness. And so it says, Olam Chesed Yibonah. The world was built with kindness. Because God's sole objective in this whole big exercise is to do kindness with His created beings, with His creatures. He wants to do kindness.
What a letdown for God.
Yes, there is some truth in what you say. He's made it a very challenging situation as well. And this is actually part of the answer. Because only by making it a challenge do we actually earn that kindness. And that in turn is because if he would just give us without us earning it, we wouldn't enjoy it. It's a well-known thing that if you give somebody something and they didn't ask, they didn't put in anything into it, there's something lacking in their enjoyment. When somebody really works for something and then they achieve it, oh, that's celebrated. You know, when they climbed Everest, that took the whole world by storm. It was a birthday present for the Queen by a coronation. And the whole world went crazy the first time anyone climbed Everest. Now, can you imagine if they would take a helicopter, take Sir John Hunt, take Sherpa Tenzing, they were the two guys who got up, right? Put them in the helicopter, zoom them up to the top of Mount Everest, drop them on the top, and say to the Queen, "Your birthday present to John Hunt, he got to the top of Everest."
No, he didn't.
What do you think she would have said?
She
would have said?
No.
I could have done that. Well, what kind of present is that? That's a gift. You know that.
In other words, if I taught you a trick and you could do it straight away, it's not...
I was thinking that trick. Exactly what you just said, just thought about.
In other words, climbing Everest is only of value if you climb Everest. But if you're planted on the top of Everest,
no effort,
and you're given that position of being on the top of Everest, which is the goal, and you didn't do it, no. Let's move on to the next thing.
That's right what Jerry just said, Rebbe. If he teaches me a trick and I don't get it right, and then eventually it falls into like a puzzle and I think I've done it right, I get a sense of excitement.
You get a pleasure. So this is the way God... the answer to your point, that God's rather unhappy about the way things are turning out, is not really correct, because he's made this challenging situation where there is evil. The Everest, the difficulties is the evil. We're climbing this challenging beast which kills people all the time. You know how many people have died on Everest?
Quite a few.
I think over 300 people. So it kills people. It's a beast. You tame the beast. Everyone sits up and takes notice. It's an achievement. So, God has made it that there's an equal and opposite power, you know, an opposing power. So this, but ultimately God's aim is kindness. He wants to give the opportunity to do the, you know, to get to the top of the mountain. And in fact, getting to the top of the mountain is an analogy which the Torah uses. Miyala Bahar Hashem. Who will climb the mountain of God? Umi Yokum Bim Kam Kacho. And who will be able to stand in his holy place at the top of this mountain? Neki Chapaim Uvar Levav. Who's the person that's going to get there? The one that's Neki Chapaim. Clean hands. He's not got violence, dishonesty on his hands. Uvar Levav. And purity of heart. They're the ones that will get there. So the Torah uses a mountain analogy for getting close to God. So it's not a wild idea to use Everest. So ultimately everything is kindness. But if God would only give, and there'd be no control over that giving, that's also not good.
You haven't explained the obstacles that will be in between the kindness.
I've explained that you're climbing a mountain. It's an achievement.
What about the obstacles that might be really, really powerful that stops you from carrying on because you cannot fight the strength?
It says, "Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Tzunim b'Yosef." God does not come with impossible demands against his creatures. The challenges that he set us are attainable.
What about the evil that is there to try and stop you?
He's given us the strength to overcome the challenges. And if not, If on an occasion we didn't have the strength, then we have another rabbinic saying, Oynes Rachmana Patrev, an accident. Oh, you're overcome by a superior force which you couldn't control. The Torah absolves you of all responsibility. You're totally innocent. It's not a black mark. But, nevertheless, we have it as axiomatic that God has given us the strength and the tools to overcome the difficulties that are thrown in our way.
Other tools, prayer.
That's one of them. Absolutely.
What would the others be?
The tools are the Torah. Without the Torah, we're nowhere. One has to learn.
That's the manual, isn't it?
Pardon?
That's the manual.
Exactly. Without the manual, you can't drive a car. Without learning to drive, you can't drive the car. You've got to learn. Learn to drive. Learn the knowledge. You know this. Without the knowledge, you ain't got a job. Hmm. Without the Jewish knowledge, we ain't got a job. We've got to have knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Knowledge is one of the key things. So God has built into our system. The Jewish system is education, 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 education. Where do we? Vishinantam levanech, we say in the Shema, teach it diligently to your children. Start them young. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. Get it into the children. Start them young. Give them the tools. If you don't teach them, they don't have the tools. You ask them to do a job, they've got no tools. The tools are the Torah, first and foremost, and then prayer. Obviously, you're asking God for help. We always need help. You can have a Torah over your head, but you need help. Those are the two main tools. Absolutely right. So, this is the challenge. It's very exciting.
It is.
Very exciting. God's given us a great life. Because Jews, a Jew that's really living a Jewish life, should have a very strong sense of mission. There's nobody happier than someone with a sense of mission. Witness the soldiers going into battle, whistling the tune and everything, and the marching songs in the traditional battles of old. Maybe it's different now because they've all got their walkie-talkies and their ear things and their antennas sticking out and their goggles. The atmosphere is gone. Once upon a time, they have the rifle on their shoulder and we're marching to victory. In Lubavitch, we have marching songs, we have victory songs. Da-dun, 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 and we sing it. Chayolei Adonainu, we're the soldiers of our Rebbe, of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Chayolei Adonainu, Mayreinu V'Rabbeinu, we're the soldiers. We feel a sense of mission. It's great to have a sense of mission. It's one of the greatest experiences in life. Challenge and mission. And I've said this many, many times. Why is it that people, and if you see in the non-Jewish world especially, people seek challenges. They actually seek them. Goals, records. Guinness Book of Records. Well, where's this coming from?
He's a good example. Sir Ralph Fiennes.
Who?
Sir Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah. Who's he?
He's about 80 something, and he went to the Antarctic, didn't he? And
It's just an example. Yeah. Sailed single-handed around the world. There's a girl in Holland of age 13. Where is this coming from? It's inbuilt. God has built into us.
People are born as well.
God has built into humanity. If only humanity would actually utilize these beautiful feelings. Most people just are couch potatoes and just sit in front of the box. They don't use it. But the greatest life you can have, ask these people that are involved in the challenge. They're alive. They're with it. They're driven. They've got goals. They've got achievements. They've got pleasure. And God wants that for all of us.
But Rebbe, I think these people are born. I mean, I was lucky. I was born to play football. I played professional football for 6 years. The Charlton Athletic. I wasn't someone who said, I think I'll do it. I was picked. I played for London Boys.
You're talking about gifts. People are different.
People are born to do it.
But I'm giving that as an example. But God has set everyone challenges. When someone, Chas v'Shalom, is born disabled, he's set them a different challenge.
But there is paramedic athletes.
I'm just saying these are examples, but the idea of going for challenge is there in every aspect of our lives. And that's the most pleasurable part of our life. Notice, what do people do at lunchtime at work?
Read.
Sudoku.
They play a game on the computer that challenges them. You know, solitaire, you know, I've got to win. Everyone's seeking, you know, why is football, why is sport so popular?
Fitness.
No, it's because of the challenge. It's because of two warring teams, and I want my team to win over the other one. And it's not
about professionalism.
Watching it is fitness. I'm watching it. I don't get fit from watching it.
You talk about professionalism. I mean, people play football all over the world, but they're not professionals. They do it because they like it, and it keeps them fit.
But I'm talking about the interest in the professional game. It's because people appreciate challenge. Well, again, we're getting off the subject a little bit. But this is the point. So, Gevura, and we're well over time now, we have to finish in a minute. So, Gevura is the control of this kindness, because kindness unbridled is no good. We haven't got time to explain that yet. Tiferes is balance. Tiferes is where the kindness and the control of balanced out to get the right flow. Chulu. V'kach nefesh adam shenechlekes l'shtayim seichel u'midas. So the same thing with a human, with a Jewish soul. It's also divided into these same. God has got these attributes. We've got these attributes in our soul. We have seichel, karachachon bin adas. So we have intellect. We've got minds. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. There isn't time to explain the differences now. We will do next week, please God, or the week after. And what are the attributes? The emotional attributes. These are love of God, which is to do with kindness. Pachtoi, fear of God, which is to do with severity. Lefaroi, to beautify God, that's tiferes. V'chabad nikru em imois, mekor lemidos. And the intellectual attributes are called the mothers because they are the source for the emotional attributes. Ki amidos hein todas chabad, because the emotional attributes are the effects of, or the children of, the intellectual attributes. So that's basically in a nutshell where we're at.
Do you know what? I believe everything in my religion. I believe in God. But I've got this nagging thing at the back of my mind. Again, please God, I hope it's not all for nothing.
Definitely not all for nothing.
What do you mean not all for nothing?
Well, I believe...
Alice.
Thanks, John.
Good. What do I do with...